Picture this for a second. You are looking at a side-by-side comparison on a piece of paper.
Okay.
On the left side, there is a standard US hospital bill. It's itemized, filled with all those confusing billing codes, and the total cost at the very bottom is sitting at an eye-watering $50,000.
Which is unfortunately pretty standard for a major procedure.
Right, exactly. But then, over on the right side of the page, there is a bill from an overseas clinic for the exact same procedure. And the total on that one is just $6,500.
That is a massive difference.
It really is. And connecting these two vastly different numbers is this illustration of an airplane flying across the page, trailing a giant glowing dollar sign behind it.
It's an incredibly striking visual, I have to say. Because, well, the sheer financial gravity of that disparity is literally pulling hundreds of thousands of people out of their local healthcare systems. And it's putting them onto international flights. I mean, we are looking at a fundamental shift in how human beings seek medical treatment today.
Welcome to today's deep dive. We are exploring an industry that you, listening right now, have probably barely even heard of, but it is absolutely booming behind the scenes.
Oh, absolutely booming.
By 2034, this sector could be worth hundreds of billions of dollars, and it's called medical tourism.
Right.
Our mission today is based on this fascinating investigative report by Donovan Meyer, PhD, and we are going to unpack exactly why 1.4 million Americans are, packing their bags and jetting abroad for major medical procedures.
Yeah, we really need to look at the massive financial savings they're chasing, but also the logistics of how this actually works.
Yeah, and crucially, uncover the hidden risks of treating a major, life-altering surgery like it's a beach vacation.
Exactly. Because to truly grasp the magnitude of what is happening, we have to look at the scale of this global economic force.
So how big is it actually?
Well, in 2024, the medical tourism industry was valued at over $35 billion. But the static number isn't the real story. The story is the velocity. This industry is growing at a massive 15 to 25% every single year.
That's wild. So it's not just a niche thing anymore.
Not at all. We are moving away from the era where, flying to Switzerland for a procedure was just a luxury for the ultra wealthy. This is now very much a middle class phenomenon.
So let's start with the root of the issue here, the push and pull factors. What is the breaking point that finally drives a patient to look at that $50,000 bill, close their laptop, and apply for a passport?
Well, the underlying data reveals a really nuanced contrast. We tend to conceptualize medical tourism as this one-way street, right? Like an exodus of Americans fleeing a broken, expensive system.
Right, that's what I always pictured.
But the traffic actually flows heavily in both directions.
Wait, really?
Yeah. Well, 1.4 million Americans leave the U.S. chasing those international savings. There are actually 1.9 million foreign patients who travel into the United States each year for medical care.
That is completely counterintuitive. You're saying more people are flying into the U.S. to pay our exorbitant prices than the number of Americans leaving for a discount.
That's exactly what the data shows.
Yeah.
And that influx happens because the U.S. remains the absolute gold standard globally for highly complex, cutting-edge care.
Okay, that makes sense, like specialized stuff.
Exactly. If someone is dealing with an incredibly rare neurological disorder, or they need access to the absolute newest experimental oncology treatments.
Right.
The U.S. has research hospitals and specialized institutes with technology that simply does not exist anywhere else. Foreign patients with the financial means are flying in for that exclusivity and innovation.
Which totally makes sense. I mean, if you have unlimited resources and a complex condition, you want the absolute frontier of medical science.
Right.
But that creates this glaring paradox, right? If the care here is the undisputed gold standard, why are 1.4 million Americans walking away from it?
The breaking point is almost entirely financial. I mean, these patients are looking at procedures that are either completely out of pocket, severely undercovered by their policy, or they've just been hit with a catastrophic insurance denial.
The dreaded denial.
Exactly. But the deeper question is why that price tag is so astronomically high in the U.S. compared to, say, a state-of-the-art facility in Germany or South Korea.
Right. Why the massive gap?
Well, the report quotes Dr. Kumar Dharmarajan, and he identifies the root cause as something called administrative waste.
Administrative waste. I mean, that sounds like someone ordering too many paper clips for the front desk. But in the context of a $50,000 bill, it has to mean something far more systemic.
Oh, it is entirely systemic.
Yeah.
The U.S. healthcare system operates on this complex web of intermediaries. When you pay for a procedure, your money isn't just going to the surgeon and the facility.
Who else is it going to?
You're funding a massive apparatus. You have insurance companies, pharmacy benefit managers, billing departments, compliance officers, network negotiators.
Basically, a whole army of people who aren't doctors.
Exactly. Every single one of these entities sits between you and your doctor, and every single one of them takes a percentage. And furthermore, to survive this negotiation process, U.S. hospitals often use something called a chargemaster system.
Oh, I have heard of the chargemaster. It essentially functions as a highly inflated artificial sticker price, doesn't it?
That is the core mechanism, yeah. A hospital might set the chargemaster price of a surgery at $100,000, fully knowing that a major insurance company will negotiate that down to $40,000.
So it's like a game?
Pretty much. The hospital gets what it actually needs to operate, and the insurance company gets to claim they secured a massive discount for their members.
But the devastating flaw in that game of financial tug-of-war is the uninsured patient, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or the patient with a super high deductible who just gets handed that initial $100,000 bill.
Exactly. They are left holding the bag.
Because they don't have a team of corporate lawyers to negotiate it down. To use an analogy, it's... well, it feels like driving on a toll road, but instead of one toll booth at the start to pay for the asphalt, there is a different toll booth every single mile.
That's a great way to put it.
One for the government, one for the pharmacy manager, one for the insurance executive. By the time you finally reach your destination, like the actual surgery, you've paid five different middlemen.
Right.
It really makes you wonder whether we're paying for actual healthcare or just funding an incredibly bloated bureaucracy.
Well, that bureaucracy creates a massive price ceiling.
Yeah.
And, you know, nature abhors a vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
The global market has recognized this massive flight of U.S. healthcare dollars, and they built entire infrastructures to capture it.
Yeah.
Americans have historically crossed into Canada and Mexico to buy cheaper insulin or prescription drugs. Medical tourism for major surgical procedures is the exact same economic principle, just scaled up to a massive, highly coordinated degree.
And the numbers backing up that global market are staggering. Like, we are not talking about saving a few hundred dollars here. We are talking about life-altering financial differences.
Oh, for sure.
Let's look at dental care. The report notes that in the U.S., a complex set of dental implants can easily cost a patient $5,000. But if you fly to Hungary or Mexico, those exact same implants will cost between $1,000 and $1,500.
Which is insane. That represents an 80% discount for the exact same physical hardware.
And the gap just widens with the complexity of the procedure. Like, a hip replacement in America averages around $40,000.
Right.
But if you travel to Colombia or Costa Rica, you can have that joint replaced for $8,000 to $14,000.
The savings are just undeniable.
And the most extreme example is a heart bypass surgery. In the U.S., a bypass can easily run upwards of $120,000. But in India, that exact same cardiac surgery costs between $7,000 and $15,000.
Now, the mechanism allowing India to offer a bypass for $7,000 involves a few different factors.
It's not just cheaper materials.
Right. No, not at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's a combination of a lower baseline cost of living, lower labor costs for medical support staff, and governments heavily subsidizing medical education so doctors don't graduate with massive debt.
Oh, that's a huge factor.
Right. And significantly lower medical malpractice insurance overhead. When you strip away the U.S. administrative waste and combine it with those international economic factors, you get these highly specialized global medical hubs.
Yeah.
Turkey, for instance, brought in roughly 2 million foreign visitors in 2024 purely for medical treatments.
See, the specialization is what really caught my attention in the report.
Yeah.
There is this town in Mexico located right on the border called Los Algodones.
Oh, yes. Molar City.
Yes. It has literally been nicknamed Molar City. Over a million Americans travel to this single town every year strictly for dental work.
The logistics of Molar City are fascinating. I mean, it thrives entirely on proximity and volume. You have thousands of American snowbirds, you know, retirees who spend their winters in places like Yuma, Arizona.
Right.
They can literally park their cars on the U.S. side and walk across the border into a four-block radius in Mexico that is densely packed with hundreds of dental clinics, pharmacies, and opticians.
That is wild.
The entire local economy has optimized itself to serve the American demand for affordable dentistry.
And it isn't just dental work in Mexico either. We are seeing these highly specific geographic monopolies pop up everywhere. Like if you want cosmetic or plastic surgery, the market pushes you toward Thailand, Brazil, or South Korea.
Exactly.
For bariatric and weight loss surgery, the top destinations are Mexico and India. Orthopedics and joint replacements are heavily concentrated in Germany and South Korea.
Right.
There are even specialized hubs for fertility treatments in Spain and Greece, and stem cell therapy in Panama.
But, you know, navigating that global map requires an immense amount of coordination, which has given rise to the next layer of this industry, which is the concierge service.
Right, the concierges.
Yeah, companies like JYN Group, Meditour, Medical Tourism Corporation, and Placidway have stepped in to act as medical travel brokers.
So they are essentially functioning as travel agents for major surgery.
They're logistics engines. If you need a hip replacement in Costa Rica, these companies arrange the virtual consultations between you and the overseas surgical team.
Okay.
They digitize and translate your local medical records, handle the pricing negotiations, book your flights, arrange specialized hotel accommodations for your recovery, and organize local transportation.
Wow.
They even coordinate travel for a spouse or family member accompanying you. They are literally designed to make the international surgical process completely frictionless.
Wait, hold on. This is where I have to step in and kind of challenge the premise of this entire marketing angle.
So go ahead.
Because making major surgery frictionless sounds incredibly dangerous to me. You're making this sound like booking a week at a sandals resort.
Right. I see what you mean.
Aren't we dangerously commodifying major bodily trauma here? I mean, if you are booking a complex heart bypass through a concierge travel agent, it feels like the industry is actively tricking the patient into forgetting the life or death gravity of the surgery itself.
That pushback gets to the absolute core of the danger here. I completely agree. The marketing materials heavily emphasize the ease, the luxury recovery suites, and the savings.
Yeah, it was like a vacation brochure.
But the physiological reality of major surgery does not change just because a concierge booked your flight. When you cross an international border, the medical risks do not disappear.
They just pack their bags and travel with you.
Exactly.
And saving $80,000 on a bypass is an incredible victory, right up until the moment you end up paying for it with your life. Let's dig into the physical mechanics of those hidden costs.
Well, the physical risks start the moment you enter a foreign clinical environment. Infections are a baseline risk for any surgery globally.
Sure.
However, when traveling abroad, patients are exposing themselves to entirely different microbial environments.
Oh, interesting.
The presence of drug-resistant superbugs varies wildly by geographic region, meaning a prophylactic antibiotic that works perfectly in Ohio might be completely ineffective against an endemic bacterial strain in a foreign hospital.
That is terrifying. And beyond the hospital environment, the physical act of traveling itself is a massive compounding risk factor, isn't it?
Oh, getting on a commercial airplane after major surgery is physiologically perilous. Yeah. The mechanism of a deep vein thrombosis, or DVT, is a perfect storm in this scenario.
Explain how that happens.
Well, your body has just experienced major surgical trauma, so your blood is naturally more prone to clotting as a healing mechanism.
Okay, makes sense.
You then take that trauma and sit completely immobile in a cramped airplane seat for 10 or 12 hours. Add in the fact that you are in a pressurized cabin with low oxygen and extremely low humidity, which dehydrates you and thickens the blood further. It is a recipe for a blood clot to form in the leg, travel to the lungs, and cause a fatal pulmonary embolism.
Wow. So the ideal scenario would be to stay in the surgical country for weeks to fully convalesce. But the reality is that most Americans have limited paid time off.
Right.
They're rushing to get back on a plane to return to their jobs or their families, drastically increasing that risk.
And if a complication does arise during that recovery period abroad, you run headfirst into the communication and quality barriers.
The language barrier.
Exactly. Even facilities where English is widely spoken, medical terminology is highly specific. If you are experiencing atypical nerve pain or a strange post-operative symptom, the nuances of communicating that distress can easily get lost in translation.
That sounds incredibly stressful.
It is, and there are also structural concerns regarding how foreign regulatory bodies oversee the sterilization of surgical equipment or the quality control of the anesthesia being administered.
Right. But the most terrifying hidden cost, and the one that I think most people completely overlook when they are staring at those initial price tags, is the continuity of care once you actually make it back to the United States.
Yes. The legal and financial trap of medical tourism snaps shut the moment you land back home. Surgery is rarely a single event.
Yeah.
It is a process that requires monitoring, physical therapy, and follow-up. If you develop a complication 3 weeks after a hip replacement, you are now thousands of miles away from the surgical team who actually performed the operation.
It's like having a complex custom house built by a brilliant architect who immediately moves to another country.
That's a good comparison.
If the foundation of that house cracks a month later, you have to hire a local contractor to fix it. But the local guy has no blueprints. He doesn't know what materials the original architect used or what structural choices they made inside the walls.
Right.
He has to tear down the drywall just to figure out what he is looking at. And he is going to charge you an absolute premium for that demolition.
That analogy perfectly illustrates the medical reality here. U.S. doctors are understandably hesitant to take on the liability of correcting an unknown foreign procedure.
I don't blame them.
If an overseas surgery fails, you are often entering the U.S. healthcare system through the emergency room, which is the absolute most expensive way to access care.
Oh, yeah.
You are essentially paying for an emergency corrective surgery, which completely wipes out the initial savings and potentially leaves you in a worse financial and physical state than if you had just stayed in the U.S. from the beginning.
So, given this minefield of risks like the superbugs, the physiological dangers of pressurized cabins, and the terrifying prospect of paying for an emergency demolition of your own body, how can a patient actually protect themselves?
It's difficult.
Because we have to acknowledge that for many people listening, seeking care abroad isn't a fun luxury. If you have a debilitating condition and simply cannot afford the U.S. price tag, going abroad is a desperate survival tactic. Yeah. How do you navigate this landscape safely?
Well, the immense growth of this industry has thankfully forced international regulators to step up and create frameworks for safety.
Okay, good.
For anyone even considering this path, the absolute first step before booking anything is consulting the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The CDC maintains a dedicated resource for medical tourists called the Yellow Book.
The Yellow Book? What exactly does that provide? Is it just like a list of travel advisories?
Oh, it goes much deeper than that. It outlines the specific physiological risks tied to common medical procedures when combined with international travel.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It details endemic disease risks by region, required vaccinations, and protocols for safely flying after specific types of surgery. It is the foundational text for understanding what you are demanding your body to endure.
Okay, so that covers the travel side of the equation, but what about the actual hospitals? Like, if I am looking at a glossy website for a clinic in Thailand, how do I know it isn't just an unsterilized operating room with a great marketing team?
You have to look for the gold standard of international accreditation, which is JCI. That stands for Joint Commission International.
What does a JCI accreditation actually measure? Because it can't just be a certificate they pay for, right?
No, it is an incredibly rigorous operational audit. JCI is a globally recognized nonprofit certification body. When they evaluate a hospital outside the U.S., they are measuring over 1,000 specific elements.
1,000?
Yes. They audit the facility's infection control protocols, the traceability and sterilization of surgical instruments, how medications are stored and administered, and the rigorousness of patient identification to ensure the right procedure is being done on the right person.
Okay, that's thorough.
If a facility has JCI accreditation, it means they have proven they meet a standardized international metric of safety.
And there are even deeper layers to that audit process, aren't there? The report mentioned a few other acronyms.
Yes, there's quite an alphabet soup. Beyond the general hospital accreditation, JCI offers the CCPS Clinical Care Program Certification. This is a hyper-focused evaluation of a specific department.
Mm-hmm.
A hospital might have general JCI accreditation, but their cardiology department might have a specific CCPS certification, proving their heart bypass program meets elite safety standards.
Got it.
And to ensure ultimate accountability, JCI itself is accredited by the IEEA, the International Society for Quality in Healthcare External Evaluation Association. It is a cascading global system of oversight designed to enforce quality control.
Okay, but synthesizing all of this information, the most profound takeaway here is the massive shift in responsibility.
Absolutely.
When you are operating within the bureaucratic maze of the U.S. healthcare system, for all its infuriating flaws and massive costs, you are entirely surrounded by built-in consumer protections, strict licensing laws, and malpractice safety nets.
Right, you don't even have to think about them.
Exactly. But when you step onto that airplane, you leave all of that behind. The patient is suddenly forced to become their own health inspector, their own medical auditor, and their own legal advocate.
That is the ultimate trade-off of medical tourism. It can, and routinely does, offer life-altering financial relief for millions of people. But cheap does not inherently mean safe, and convenience does not equal quality.
Yeah.
Navigating this global market requires a massive amount of personal responsibility. Yeah. You have to interrogate the concierge services, verify the JCI accreditations yourself, understand the physiological risk of your flight, and have a concrete pre-planned strategy for continuity of care when you return home.
It is an incredibly heavy calculation to make. And, you know, for you listening right now, the appeal of looking at a medical bill that could literally bankrupt your family and knowing you can save 70% by getting on a plane is undeniably powerful.
It's hard to resist.
It is. But you have to weigh that initial financial victory against the profound physical risks, the danger of the journey, and the looming threat of what happens if your local doctor has to fix a foreign mistake.
It is a profound calculation, and one that 1.4 million Americans are deciding is worth the risk every single year.
And that leaves us with a truly fascinating final thought to ponder as we wrap up today. We know this industry is projected to hit hundreds of billions of dollars over the next decade.
Right.
If millions of middle-class Americans simply decide they have reached their financial breaking point, if they take their wallets, abandon their local hospitals, and fly away for their major procedures, what exactly happens to the U.S. healthcare system left behind?
That is the big question.
Will this massive exodus of paying patients finally force the U.S. system to collapse its own administrative waste and drop domestic prices to compete globally?
We're gonna hope.
Or will it create a permanently fractured, hollowed-out system where only the most complex, catastrophic emergencies stay home, driving domestic prices even higher for the people who can't afford a plane ticket? Next time you see a hospital bill, imagine that little airplane trailing a dollar sign. It might just be the blueprint for the future of how we heal. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive and for exploring the vast, complicated world of medical tourism with us. Take care.